Well, here we are, Christmas Eve, looking forward to tomorrow, Christmas Day. So much of Christmas that makes Christmas special are the traditions that we have been involved in year after year during the Christmas time since we've been small, maybe with our families, maybe with our friends, with our churches here and there. Many of the traditions involve singing, of course, the Christmas carols, we call them, and that we sing throughout this time of year. And you know, those songs have a lot of history and a lot of tradition in the church and around the world. The songs were written, if you see a lot of them, the dates below the songs, years and years ago. And the songs were written, the carols were written to teach us about the birth of Christ, the birth of the Savior, this Messiah, this King that God had foretold in the Old Testament was coming into the world to save His people and to deliver them from their sins. And many of the songs describe Him as Emmanuel, the King of Kings. And one of my favorites is Hark the Herald Angels Sing. And as we remember the angels coming to the shepherds that were out in the hills watching their flocks by night, this great, glorious light surrounded them. And the angels came and proclaimed, "Glory to God in the highest, peace on earth, goodwill to all men." Glory to the newborn King. I think a lot of times during Christmas, we tend to forget about the fact that this little baby that laid in a manger hundreds of years ago came into this world as a new king. A King of Kings, a Lord of Lords, a King of Peace, a King whose kingdom would never end. God spoke through His prophets and proclaimed that He was going to send a Messiah, a Savior, who would sit on David's throne and His kingdom would have no end. It would be an eternal kingdom. And that He was coming into the world. Well, we know a king has a kingdom. Kings are rulers that have subjects, and people agree to be subject to the king, knowing that the king will provide for them and protect them, that the king will guide them and guard them in their time of need and provide for their needs, if it is, however, a good king. And this king was truly going to be a good king, a wonderful counselor, a prince of peace. And in those days when Caesar Augustus issued a decree that there would be a census, there was a sense of expectation among the people in Israel and in Judah, among the Jews, that this Messiah was soon going to come. And that this king was coming. However, in their minds, they believed that this king was going to be a great military ruler, a very charismatic person who would be powerful and free them from the oppression under the Romans and the Roman Empire. But as Jesus came, and the angel came to Mary and said, "You will bear a child, and you will name him Jesus," which means "the Lord saves." And he will save his people from their sins. Now, to the Jewish person, that meant a lot, because the only person who could save someone from their sins was God Himself. This child that was coming into the world, this king, was God Himself in the flesh. He was King of Kings, King of the universe, God Himself coming into the world. And they rejoiced, the heavenly host rejoiced. And the shepherds went to see if what they were told was true. They went to the proper Bethlehem, contrary to what CNN's trying to tell you on television right now. They went to Bethlehem Ephrathah, the one in Judea, in the south. And it was just as they were told. They found the babe in cloths lying in a manger. They found Mary and Joseph. And they returned rejoicing, telling everyone what they had found, that it was just as the angels had told them. This King of Kings was born, and they were rejoicing. I want to ask you tonight, does that describe you this Christmas? Are you rejoicing because You are a part of that kingdom, that you have accepted that King of Kings as your personal king. Luke tells about this king coming into the world. He tells about it historically, that it happened in the days when Caesar Augustus issued a decree when Quirinius was governor of Syria. He tells about how Joseph and Mary went to Bethlehem to register the city of David, because Joseph was from the line of David. And while they were there in Bethlehem, a little village at that time, this baby was born. This baby was born. And when the angel came to announce to Mary before this that she would have this child, we remember that the angel said to Mary, "He will be great and will be called Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will never end. In other words, what Luke is saying is that the angel was implying that this baby that this Virgin Mary was going to have was going to be the promised king. This was going to be the king. And we know the wise men came later on. They came seeking the one who had been born king of the Jews. In John chapter 18, when Jesus stands before Pilate, and he says Jesus never claimed to be the Messiah, never claimed to be the king. Look at your Bibles. Look at your Bibles. Jesus stood before Pilate. Pilate said, "Are you king of the Jews?" Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest by the Jews. But now my kingdom is from another place." "You are a king then," said Pilate. And Jesus said, "You are right in saying, I am a king. In fact, it's for this reason that I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me." In other words, everyone who is part of his kingdom and obeys the king listens to him because he speaks the truth. Remember the sign that hung above his head on the cross when he hung on the cross? The King of Kings, for the very reason he came into the world to die for the sins of the world, hung there, and the sign over him said, "Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews." And the Jews tried to get Pilate to take the sign down, and Pilate said, "No, what I've written, I've written. There it is." Alongside a road where people were traveling, seeing Jesus hanging on the cross. Hark, the herald angels sing glory to the newborn King. Peace on earth and mercy mild. God and sinners reconciled. You see, he had to come in order that sinners would be reconciled to God and become friends again with God and be able to be part of that heavenly kingdom. There was no other way, and there still is no other way. And the beckoning is, "Joyful all ye nations, rise. Join the triumph of the skies. And with the angelic host proclaim, Christ is born in Bethlehem." Christ by the highest heaven was adored. Christ the everlasting Lord. Offspring of a virgin's womb. The incarnate deity. God in the flesh. The King of Kings. The Lord of Lords. God himself lying in a manger. We wonder why there's no peace if he's the Prince of Peace and he came into the world. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to answer that or to understand that. It's because the world has not accepted Jesus as King. You see, what it amounts to is, who's on the throne of our lives? Who's on the throne in my life? If I'm on the throne, Jesus isn't. If I'm willing and humble to get off the throne and let Jesus sit there and rule over my life, I will know peace. We'll know peace. And someday Christ will come back as that victorious king to defeat the enemy, to set up his earthly kingdom, a kingdom of peace for all who have accepted him as King of Kings in their own lives personally. That's why he was born. That's why he came into the world, to set up his kingdom so that all who believe in him, as John said, to those who receive him, he gave the right to become children of God, born of God. We celebrate the birth not just of a man. And some people say, oh, I know Jesus. I believe in Jesus. But the question is, do we believe Jesus when he says, I am a king, and my kingdom is not of this world? And do we agree to follow him when he says, come, follow me? When he stands and knocks at the door, will we open the door and say, welcome in. Welcome in, my king. We celebrate that he's ruler over all things, from everlasting to everlasting. That I know when I'm in trouble in my life and when I have issues in my life and when I need to be protected or saved, I can run to him and say, Jesus, my King, protect me. And I know he will. And I know he can. And I know he's more willing and able than I can ever ask or imagine to take care of me. Because he's the King of Kings. But more so, because he's my king. And I hope he's your king. When Jesus was born, the whole world, the history, and the whole world was changed for all eternity. A new king was born. And a lot of people didn't like that. Herod didn't like it. And millions of people still don't like that today because they're not willing to get off the throne. If Jesus is the king in your life, something else is. And until Jesus is king in your life, you will not know peace. Because he is the Prince of Peace, the Wonderful Counselor, the Everlasting God, and the King of Kings. Let's pray. God our Father, what a great gift that you sent Christ, our King. What a gift, what a sacrifice that a king would die for his people. But tonight we gather as we prepare to celebrate his birth tomorrow to be reminded of the great gift that we have in our King Jesus and the kingdom that awaits us who follow him. May we accept him tonight and tomorrow and every day of our lives as King. May we rejoice and proclaim glory to God in the highest. And thank God always for a new king, the King of Kings, King Jesus. Amen.